of Thanksgiving week, we're reminded that God is good. We should remember that all the time. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Life isn't always easy, but God is always good. This morning, as we come to the book of 1 Corinthians again, we're reminded there are so many different areas of life that we can be thankful for. But specifically, let's be thankful for unity. See, Paul's talking to this church at Corinth, and they had some problems. Have you ever had people problems? Okay, just making sure we're all on the same page. You understand what I'm talking about. They had some people problems. Sadly, they had people problems in the midst of the church. You know how there's two aisles? Well, sometimes there were more than two divisions. In fact, Paul deals with that in this passage. Some people said, well, I'm of Paul, and man, I'm of Apollos. I'm of Peter or Cephas. Oh, wait a second. I'm of Christ. You know, I've got it together. They're arguing over which spiritual leader they should have followed and what makes them so good. Well, you know, I chose the color for the auditorium walls. Or, man, I chose this. Or I, you know, sometimes we get that feeling. And sometimes there's some divisions. And this church at Corinth experienced that. But as Paul's writing to them, in fact, we've looked at this a couple weeks in a row, he was thankful for this church, not just saying these things. Last Sunday morning, we talked about how he was thankful indeed for the church and the blessings that they were. He was thankful for some specific areas that they were Christian, that they were saved. He was thankful that the Holy Spirit did make a difference in their life. But today, as we come to this next section in chapter 1, verses 10 through 17, let's be thankful for unity. Much of this letter to the church at Corinth was written in dealing with unity problems. And they needed to. Let's be thankful for that, he said. And many times of life, we have unity problems. Maybe it's at home. Maybe it's with extended family. There's all those mother-in-law jokes that people laugh at because sadly, there are problems with in-laws sometimes. Sadly, there are difficulties with family members. But ultimately, you and I can be unified, not based on, I'm going to work a little harder at it this week. But as Paul says, because of the name of the Lord Jesus. Let's be thankful that we can have unity in Christ. Father, we come before you and we thank you for your love. We thank you for this opportunity that we have to gather around your word. We ask that you would speak to our hearts. God, that you would make a difference in our lives this week. And your church here at Munith, that you would be glorified. Help us to be a thankful people. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. See, in verse number 10, Paul says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." In another passage, Paul says, "I beseech you by the mercies of God," to the church at Romans, or at Rome. Here he says, "I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." He's talking about a church family here. As we look at each other, as we look around the room, we think about our church family. And we ask ourselves this question: what interferes with unity in God's church at Munith? Now, we know that, man, the devil doesn't want God's church at Munith to be unified. So what kind of things can interfere with that? How about just some miscommunication about decorating for Christmas? Do you think that the devil would like to use that to bring about divisions in our church? I'm convinced of it. Do you think that the devil would like to use anything he can to bring about divisions in God's church at Munith? Yeah, there were all sorts of crazy things that they were letting divide themselves here at Corinth. But we can be thankful, number one, that problems can be resolved in Christ. That problems can be resolved in Christ. There are all sorts of problems in life. And you attest to that, don't you? You've already experienced problems today. Things at my house didn't go as I had hoped this morning. How about at your house? I mean, it doesn't always go that way. But problems can be resolved in Christ. When we deal with people, we have problems. Probably because we are involved in the situation. If you find a perfect church, don't go there because you'll mess it up. We look at our lives and we realize that we often cause problems. Well, I'm right. You don't know my spouse. You don't know my kids. You don't know that coworker. Now, and sometimes we can be right. But are we reacting to a situation? Are we letting God control our response? Are we just doing what we want to do? What comes naturally? Often, one of the two parties that are having divisions or odds with one another, one of them sometimes is right. But how do we then allow God to bring unity? How do we allow God to keep unity at your rural Baptist church? Because problems can be resolved in Christ. That's why we get together. That's why we gather together in Sunday school or the morning service and we open up what? The Bible. Because it has nothing to do with you and me. You and me, left to ourselves, we can only be unified with so many people. Because some people just rub us the wrong way. Some people, man, you know the cat's fur when they're petting it? They won't go this way, they'll go this way. Right? And they'll go the wrong way to you. I mean, because they know it's going to get you because they think it's funny. Watching your reaction and your response to them. But the reality is, the church family, we can have unity because it's not up to us. Christ can resolve all of our problems. We see three different problems here in verse 10 that Paul is saying there are in this church. Now, there are all sorts of problems, but here's three root problems that he's challenging them with. Number one, be thankful that there can be unity of speech. Be thankful there can be unity of speech. He says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing." Now, that doesn't mean we have to go around and say, all we can say this afternoon at lunch is, "God is good." And you respond, "God is good." And then the next person, we're speaking the same thing. There's the unity of our speech that it has to do with God, the Word of God. That's why, even as church families, between ours and others, there can only be so much unity because it has to be in Christ and in His Word. That's why we can say, "Hey, I invite you out. Pastor Scott has invited you out to come to his church this evening, if it works out for you, for their Singspiration Thanksgiving service tonight." But you know, we can't invite to every church because we have to speak the same things. It's the Word of God that dictates our speech, that dictates the doctrine that we talk about. It's not just the things we don't say, it's the things we do say. Paul said that ye all speak the same thing. We can be thankful that that's possible in Christ. We can be thankful that there can be unity in actions. The church struggled with that. A lot of different behaviors that we'll get into in this letter here, but we can be thankful that our actions can be unifying. He says in verse 10, "And that there be no divisions among you." Interpersonal relationships often bring about divisions. Some of you have said that you raising your children have brought out certain character traits in your life. Man, I look at my life and I realize that raising kids didn't bring them out. It just revealed it. It was already in my heart and in my life. And man, I look at some things, I'm like, "Whoa, that's who I am? God, would you change me?" The reality is, we can be unifying in our actions, not in ourselves, but what does he say? In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's Christ that makes that difference. Paul says to the church at Philippi in Philippians chapter 3, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and be conformed to him." Wow. Knowing him. Christ makes that difference in my life. Can you look back at your week this week and see some of the interpersonal struggles you had with other people? Man, I can. And I look at those and I think, who could have solved that? Christ could have. But did I yield to him, or did I just feel like I got to get it out? But we can't ever live that way. The church at Corinth, they were just letting these things boil up. Well, I'm a Paul. Yeah, but Apollos speaks better than Paul. He's got this clear speech, and man, I follow him, and man, he's blessed my heart. There can be unity in actions and how we treat each other. Think about King Saul and his relationship, his interpersonal relationship with a young shepherd boy named David that he brought into the courthouse. Man, it was a blessing at first. He was thankful for David and his harp playing and the blessing that David was. But then what happened? God blessed David, and Saul had problems. David didn't bring that out. It just helped reveal what was already in his heart. And King Saul had problems, going to the point of hunting David down like an animal. But God protected David. But then we look at King Saul's son, Jonathan, and look at his interpersonal relationship with David. And he loved him, man. They were friends, fast friends. Why? Because it was of God. Jonathan realized that God had anointed David to be the next king. And so Jonathan had God at his focus of his interpersonal relationship, and it brought unity in their actions toward each other. Paul said there can be unity in our actions as a local church. Thank God for that. Don't you hate divisiveness? What it does inside of you? Well, we don't have to live that way. As a church family or as a household family, we can live with peace and unifying speech and unifying actions. But the final thing Paul mentions here in verse 10, he says, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Perfectly joined together gives the idea to be completely or to completely form or to repair. Some of you like to sew. And man, when you tear a shirt on a seam, it can easily be repaired. But when you tear a shirt just anywhere, man, that is one tough thing to repair. And it can never be perfectly joined back together. You can sew it together, but it sure looks like it had a problem. And actually, you had to lose some of the fabric because of how it has to overlay and all of this stuff. See, Paul says to this church at Corinth that ye be perfectly joined together. How? In the name of our Lord. That's how much unity can be at Jerusalem Baptist Church. That's exciting. That we can have that unity and be thankful to God for the incredible unity. We can be thankful to God that all of our problems can be resolved in Christ. Now, Paul only addresses three here, but really throughout this book, he deals with a lot more specifics of how some of these areas fleshed out. And in our lives, we see so many different aspects of struggles with interpersonal relationships. But God can resolve each one of those. And as you go into Thanksgiving, some of you are saying, God, I'm going to Thanksgiving, and I'm going to get together with family. And as nice as that will be, there could be some pretty stressful moments. Or Christmas is coming up, and man, we have reunions, and I just don't want to go. There can be unity. Let's be thankful there can be unity in Christ. And so let's make sure we're doing what we need to walk with Him. As Paul is addressing these different factions in the church, he's not just addressing this faction, then this one, then that one, then this one. He's addressing them as one body. But they each have individual responsibilities to walk with God. I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, be thankful that problems can be resolved in Christ. Aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful as you look back at life and see some of the problems that God has resolved? Aren't you thankful that as you look ahead to problems in life, that God can resolve those too? Be thankful that all problems can be resolved in Christ. But Paul also is thankful that God uses multiple spiritual leaders. Look at your own life. Aren't you thankful that God has used multiple spiritual leaders in your life? Think about all the different spiritual leaders in your life. from childhood on, or from when you first got saved. Man, I look back at my life, and really the first spiritual leaders in my life were my mom and my dad. I'm thankful for them. But then, you know, there was a pastor who I don't even know. My dad told me years later his name was Pastor Johnson in Huxley, Iowa, who had the privilege to lead me to the Lord Jesus Christ, that ultimate when it clicked and I realized I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Not my parents had taught me that, but this pastor, God used him as a spiritual leader to guide me to that final point of I need to make this decision today. Man, I'm thankful for him. But then, you know, there was my pastor at that point, Pastor Hindle. Man, he was used of God. There wasn't a lot I remember, but man, one of his messages, I don't even remember what he was preaching on, but the Holy Spirit had convicted me so much that I needed to follow in believer's baptism. I was saved. I needed to obey and get baptized. And man, I remember sitting in the back, and after the service, I kind of tugged on Mom's shirt, and, Mom, is this when you go forward if you want to get baptized? And dealing with some of the realities of that. I'm thankful not just for him, but then my dad became my pastor. After that, man, I'm thankful for him. Now, you know, I struggled as a kid listening to my dad preach. Partly because I was a kid, partly because I was his kid. But when I became an adult man, sitting under my dad's ministry, I was so thankful for his preaching and how God used him in my life. I'm thankful for all the spiritual leaders God used in my life in Bible college. But you know, there are other spiritual leaders that aren't pastors that God has used in my life. This man here, that man there, this person over here. Man, I'm thankful that God uses multiple spiritual leaders. As Paul deals with this problem at the church at Corinth, in verse number 11, he says, "For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you." There's strife. There's some of these divisions that can be resolved in Christ. Verse 12, "Now this I say, that every one of you saith," he says, every one of you, you have a problem. You're caught up into your own spiritual leader who had the most impact on your life. And each of us have different leaders that make an impact on our life. There are certain individuals, certain preachers that, man, during the week, I love listening to. There's about three main preachers that I'll listen to. But there are a lot of other preachers that God has used in my life to make an impact. But there's a special connection I have with these three. Two of them, I don't even know them and they don't know me. I know who they are. I've heard them in person. They've been a blessing to me. One of them, we'll text back and forth. And man, he is a mentor to me and I'm thankful for that. But do I fight and say, well, these are the three. And man, if you don't preach like them and you don't, you have no part. This church here was striving and fighting over the spiritual leaders in their life. Hey, Paul, he founded our church. He's the man I'm following. See, as he said, some of you say, I am of Paul and I have Apollos. Apollos was a man who went to the church at Corinth and ministered to the church after Paul left. Many say that Apollos was a very good orator. Could speak very fluently and comfortably in front of people. The way he put his words together, it made so much sense. Did that mean he was a better leader than Paul? Well, no. But some say, man, he blessed my heart and ministered. God uses different leaders to connect with different people. Well, then he says, some of you say, I'm of Cephas or of Peter. Peter was an early apostle, one of the disciples of Christ, and came at one point to the church at Corinth and communicated and worked with them. And some said, man, you know, here he walked with Christ, and man, I follow him, and he's been a blessing to me spiritually. And some say, yeah, these leaders are good, but man, I'm of Christ. But yet, then Paul goes on. Look what he says in verse 13. The first rhetorical question he asks. Is Christ divided? Do we cut Christ up into different pieces and send him here and there and he can be divided? No, he isn't divided. He says, was Paul crucified for you? I wasn't crucified for you. Christ was. It's all about him. Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? Now Paul says, hey, there were some of you that I baptized. But I wasn't there for baptizing. I was there for preaching the gospel, verse 17 says. Thankful. Be thankful that God uses multiple spiritual leaders in your life. That there can be unity even in diversity. Man, we have what you would call multiple spiritual leaders in our church, in leadership positions. Think about our Sunday school teachers. I am thankful for each of our Sunday school teachers. Now, the reality is, I haven't heard most of them. But I'm thankful for you. And you should be thankful for your Sunday school teacher. God has used your Sunday school teacher in your life and has a plan to continue using that Sunday school teacher in your life. Whether it's one of our kids' Sunday school teachers or our adult Sunday school teachers. I mean, I'm thankful for our children's church workers and the leadership role that they take in our kids' lives. Man, think about the spiritual leaders we have on Wednesday evening as we divide up our BLC kids into their different grades, and we've got all these different workers down there helping out with this memory verse or doing this, helping out in the tribe time, the story time, or helping out with a game time because helping it tie all the... Man, I'm thankful for the spiritual leaders in our church. But Satan wants us just to cling to one of those and say, shh, now that's the leader. You may go to that class, but... that's the leader. Wait a second. Christ isn't divided. That teacher didn't die for your sins. The reality is there can be unity even in diversity. And Paul is thankful for that God uses multiple spiritual leaders. Maybe it's special music. And there have been different people who God has used to minister to you in special music at different times. That doesn't mean someone else is less used in special music or, man, that person is more important in special music. Maybe it's other spiritual leaders that God uses in life. There's unity and diversity because of the name of Christ that we can have. Paul's thankful that God uses multiple spiritual leaders, and we should be too. Paul challenges them to let other spiritual leaders invest in them. He tells Timothy to invest in others in 2 Timothy 2:2, who will teach others also. Maybe you say, well, I'm not a Sunday school teacher. No, but you sure can and should be a spiritual leader to someone. Who are you a spiritual leader to? Who are you investing your life to in their life? Be that spiritual leader. Thank God that there are multiple spiritual leaders. Some people have said that every one of us need a Paul, a Barnabas, and a Timothy in our life. See, the Apostle Paul was a spiritual leader that many people looked up to. And Barnabas did, but what was Barnabas to Paul? He was a friend and a loving mentor-like relationship. Man, there was a friendship that they had. And there was. They ended up going their own way for a while. But God used Barnabas in a great way as a spiritual friend. But then Timothy was someone that Paul invested in. We each need spiritual leaders we look up to and spiritual friends that, man, we can just challenge and encourage each other. And we each need someone that we can invest in as a spiritual leader to them. He says, be thankful for this. Be thankful for those who got involved or who get involved instead of getting upset at them. Look at verse number 11. For hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the household of Chloe, that there be contentions among you. Now, some people would call them a tattletale. Oh, they just went and told on you. Well, the reality is, hey, they're concerned. They love their church, and they want to see the unity of Christ in their church. And they went to the spiritual leader and said, Paul, here's some problems. Would you help us? And maybe sometimes someone helps point out some of those things in your life. Don't get upset at them. Be thankful that they want God to work and that they want unity. Now, on that same note, don't just go tattling on people. We tell our kids, don't go tattling. But the reality is, man, they were concerned and they wanted to deal with the situation. Sometimes we just get upset at people who deal with situations as opposed to being thankful that God wants to use them. Maybe they did it wrong, but maybe there was an area of life God wants to work on in my life. Letting God use them in my life. See, the church here, instead of emphasizing on the message of the word, they emphasized the messenger. That's why, as much as, man, I'm thankful that God has called me to be your pastor, this church has nothing to do with me. It must be all of Christ. The message that I bring, whether it's Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night, man, I don't want to waste your time because God wants to speak to you. If I'm here to speak to you, you're wasting your time and I'm wasting your time. But God has a message from His Word. It doesn't mean because Pastor Bob's time as pastor is done, whatever. Well, man, I just appreciated the ministry of Pastor Bob and Pastor Josh. God uses both of us in different ways. I'm telling you, I'm thankful Pastor Bob is still here. And for the ministry he's had, he was never my pastor. But I am so thankful for how God has used him here over the years. And I'm thankful to call him Pastor Bob, and yet to call him my friend. And man, we can be thankful that God uses multiple spiritual leaders and people in our lives, whether it's the household of Chloe saying, hey, there's some problems that need to be dealt with. We can focus on helping and being part of the solution. The household of Chloe, we don't know exactly who they were, but they didn't try to hide the problems. They didn't try to cover them and not talk about them, kind of like the elephant that's in the room that no one ever wants to talk about. That's not how we have unity in a church. We deal with situations sometimes that are uncomfortable and not fun. But we can be thankful there is unity and can be unity. We can be thankful that it's all about Christ and nothing about us. But I found it very interesting, even as this family and this those of this household wanted to deal with it, they didn't just go gossiping it around, oh, there's this problem, this contingent. They went to someone who could deal with the situation. And they were thankful for the spiritual leader who would then deal with it. They didn't say, did you hear this about so-and-so? Oh, and then they went over here, and that person went over there. And they went to a spiritual leader who said, hey, there's a problem, and we want our church to be unified. And it can be unified. We're thankful for that, but let's have it be. Maybe that's the same in family situations, friendships that turn sour. Man, let's seek to have peace, as Jesus says, that we would live peaceably with all men. As much as lies within us, as much as we walk in the name of the Lord and walk in Him. Going on. But I also find it interesting here, it's pointed out to the church who they were. Paul didn't just say, hey, someone told me there's some problems there, and man, I want to help. Paul said, you know what? This is the household of Chloe. They weren't ashamed to, okay. If I go and say there's a problem, it might come back that I was the one involved. And so is it true? Or am I just making it up? Is it true? Or am I just perceiving it in my own way? No, these were some severe problems. I'm thankful we don't have that, at least that I'm aware of, at Jeruel Baptist Church. And I'm thankful for the unity at our church because this is the Church of God at Munith. And man, we're thankful that we can be unified even with diversity of leaders. Thankful for the unifying words, even as Paul deals with this and says, hey, he's thankful for the multiple spiritual leaders. Look how he addresses them. Some of the words he uses here. He says, brethren, he challenges them. They all are from the same family, the spiritual family. Remember, we've talked about God's family and the devil's family, and at salvation, we are adopted into the family of God. He says, brethren. He said that you be perfectly joined together, which is a medical term describing unity of the human body knit together. There's a loving union as members of this body. He identifies this as in the name of Jesus, man, and He was love. John says in 1 John that God is love. So be thankful for unifying words. Which is a challenge that, man, we should let our words always be unifying. This week at your Thanksgiving together, or as you get together with family this busy Christmas season, let your words be that which is unifying. When you go home and, man, there's some struggles, make sure your words are unifying like Paul uses here because of Christ and the difference He makes in your life and in my life. And with the diversity of the spiritual leaders, it wasn't about them. Paul was thankful that he had a unifying Savior. Look at, again, verse 13. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius. And he was thankful for something he didn't do, because he didn't want it to get in the way of Christ. Now, baptism, is it important? Yes. Is it important for salvation? No. And Paul did not want that to get messed up. He was thankful it wasn't, and it didn't. Dividing Christ is illogical. It doesn't make any sense. There were different personalities with different approaches, and they all pointed to one Savior. We have different personalities in our church, don't we? If you're here, you have a different personality than someone. Now, some of us may have similar personalities, but there's always quirky differences, right? We all have quirky differences, don't we? I mean, I do. I'll admit it. We all have issues. But then as we say, okay, so God wants to use him in his difference. God wants to use me in my difference. Being thankful then that all of our spiritual leaders point to the unity of one Savior. Our Sunday school teachers, Bible studies, everything we do needs to center around what? The one Savior, the Word of God. We have one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. It's not this spiritual leader that, man, I've got to do everything with or for. And so we even must be so cautious. If you listen to other preachers, and I think it's wise, I've shared with you, man, there's others that I listen to. But we've got to be careful, because sometimes we rally behind a preacher and just follow that preacher wherever they may go and whatever they may teach. We get behind an institution, whether it be a Bible college or another institution, and praise God for the leaders at that time, but we just stick with them because me and God use them in our life, and we're it. But the point is, it's all about one Savior. And if someone goes apart from that and away from that, we stop following that person. We stop letting them be the spiritual leader in our life, because they aren't pointing us to the one Savior, the Word of God, and the difference God wants to make. The different leaders won't solve the problems, but the Savior will. Paul wanted to be involved in solving this problem, but remember what he said in verse 10? Now I beseech you, brethren, by who? The name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, this isn't by me. I'm not going to come and resolve all your problems. It's by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you and I focus on Christ as we should, it makes an incredible difference in life. He resolves the problems that we have. He allows there to be multiple spiritual leaders to point us to Him today, tomorrow. But we can also be thankful that the gospel brings life change. See, in the unity that Paul wanted this church to experience and have, he knew that it was about the gospel. Some people say, well, we believe in Christ, so let's just join hands together. Well, wait a second. It does boil down to Christ, but do you believe the truth about Christ and what the Word of God teaches and the other doctrines of Christ? Jesus said that as we teach others and we teach them the way of salvation, that we then teach them to observe whatsoever things I have commanded you. The Word of God and all of it is important. Well, they believe in Christ, so we'll call it good. How many of you enjoy YouTube? Okay, man, I'm speaking to the younger generation. Jeff, you're part of the younger generation. YouTube can be a neat thing, and yet it can be an interesting thing. We have some music people that we enjoy following or listening to on YouTube. The Merrills, when they were here, Nye and Alicia have some stuff that they've put out on YouTube. There's another music group we enjoy, Forever Be Sure, another guy, Ben Everson. So we listen to a lot of their music. I'm getting familiar with another music group, and it's been neat to listen to them and their ministry, kind of an Irish style of music that they have, the coffee evangelistic team. And I'm thankful for them. But I heard one of the songs, and I was interested. I've heard the song before, but I was interested kind of more on the background of it. Well, you know how YouTube gives you another recommendation? And it was very interesting. The song, very biblical song. I love it. I appreciate it. But it pointed me to another video that had thousands of people viewing it, and it was by some Episcopalian church. And you could see all the high church everything in there, and incredible and sad. Because, yeah, they may teach about Christ, but it's not the personal relationship with Christ as we understand the Bible to teach in so many different aspects. Just because someone names the name of Christ doesn't mean we can join hands with them. The message is the gospel and the reality of the gospel. And Paul says, I'm thankful that the gospel does bring life change. It makes a difference, not just on Sunday, but on Monday and Tuesday and even Friday night and Saturday. The gospel brings life change. See, Paul said that Christ can't be divided. I didn't die for you. I didn't baptize anybody in my name. And he goes through in verse 14 and 15, 16. He tells some of the people he baptized. Verse 16, and I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to what? Not to baptize. Some people believe, and many even religious organizations, I won't call them a church, many religious organizations will teach what is called baptismal regeneration. That you're born again by getting baptized. Or that baptism is intimately linked with salvation. That you can't be saved if you aren't baptized. Now, I'm telling you, I have been baptized. I went in a baptismal tank, and the pastor dunked me under the water and brought me back up. That had nothing to do with my salvation. It didn't give me assurance of salvation. It was a step of obedience. But I tell you, if I died before I was baptized, I was going to heaven because I had been saved. And Jesus forgave my sin. Paul said, I didn't baptize in my name. Christ didn't bring me or send me to Corinth to baptize people, but to preach the gospel of Christ. Baptismal regeneration isn't true. Salvation is only possible through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and me putting my faith and trust in Him. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ what? Died for us. In Romans 10, believe. Talks about believing on Him and thus sending preachers so they can believe on Him. Well, God sent a preacher named Paul to the city of Corinth. We talked a little bit about the city of Corinth a couple weeks ago in our introductory of the book. They were a wicked city and they needed a Savior. Well, now that the Savior was presented to them, man, some of them got saved and they were excited about the spiritual gifts, but there were problems in the church. And Paul said, hey, wait a second. I didn't come to be some magic guy in your life and some super leader you got to follow. It's all about Christ. He said, Christ sent me not to baptize, verse 17. But to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Be thankful that the gospel brings life change. Not that baptism brings life change. Not that by attending church enough brings life change. Once you're saved, some of these things will help. Baptism is a step of obedience. And if you won't obey God in that area, why would you obey God in any other area? So I challenge you, if you haven't been baptized after being saved, it is a command of God's Word. But then, man, going to church. Man, this church family went to church, if you will. They gathered together. But that didn't make them right with God, though it should help, because we what? We go and we listen to the preaching of the Word. And I hesitate to say that because we don't just listen to the preaching of the Word. And if all you do when I preach is listen, that's not what you come for. We listen and we respond. If I don't respond to the Word of God in my life through these very passages, it's of no avail to me either, even as your preacher. But you and I listen and respond to the Word of God. The gospel brings life change. Be thankful that it is a believable message. It's not by works. is by faith. It is believable. The just shall live by. We see that four different times throughout the Word of God. Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus that it's not by works. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. But we believe in the work He's done. And that produces good works in our life. We're reminded it's not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to His mercy He saved us. Wow. It's a believable message. It's true, as much as people will want to deny it. Incredible. Phil and I were talking this morning about the Ark Encounter down in Ohio. And he said it was so neat when they got to go down this fall to see, yes, we believe it happened, but to see how it really, how all those animals and how they could have done it and how God had His wisdom be used. And just one of the ways it could have happened. Wow. The gospel is a believable message. It's not just a fairy tale that we kind of cling to because we need some hope in life. We do need hope in life. But we cling to the truth of Christ. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's a believable message. Be thankful that it's a simple message. Man, aren't you? That we don't need some PhD to get saved? Sadly, there are many who have the PhD and they deny Christ. They don't need Him. Jesus said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into heaven. It's the reality of it's so much easier to depend upon my knowledge because I've got it all together. But the reality is I need a Savior. It's a believable message. It's an understandable message. Simple. Luke 18, 16 and 17 talks about the faith of a child. Man, I'm thankful some of my kids have gotten saved. I'm telling you, not all my kids are saved. I've got kids that need to get saved yet. Some of you do too. Maybe you're here and you say, I'm not saved yet. The Bible says it's a believable message and it's a simple message. For you, today is the day of salvation. Christ died for your sins according to the Scripture. And that He was buried and He rose again the third day according to the Scripture because He loves you and He doesn't want to see you go to hell. Will you believe that message today? That's what gives unity to a church family. Being saved. And walking in Him because we believe the same message. We follow the same Savior. And I'm thankful that it's a powerful message, Paul says. In verse 17, he says, For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the what? Power of God. Wow, it's a life-changing message. And if Christ hasn't changed my life, am I saved? I need to ask myself that. I may claim it, but if He hasn't made any difference, am I really saved? Or have I just not grown? And I need to let Him make that difference in my life. See, Paul challenged his church at Corinth. Let's be unified. And he's thankful that you and I can be unified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That very personal relationship. Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? I hope so. Romans 1:16, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. God's gospel is life-changing. Have you received it? Have you believed it? God's got great things in store for His church at Munith. And I'm excited. And in order for us to let God continue to use us, we must continue to be unified. And we must strive to be even more unified. Not in our own strength, but in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what's getting in the way of you to be unified with someone else here at church? What does God want to use to draw you closer to that person, but maybe you're tempted to use to put that divisiveness up? Maybe it's someone at church. Maybe it's a family member who doesn't go to our church. Maybe it's someone else. Maybe you live with someone. Maybe you work with someone and, man, there's divisions. What can God do this week to help you be unified? Let's be thankful we can. Let's trust Him as Savior if we don't know Him as Savior. And let's trust our Savior to give us unity and continue in that unity as a church family.